Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and on this Friday, August 19th, it's my pleasure to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Miss Pat Ferguson. And Pat, thank you for joining us. I look forward to our time of conversation at the end of this podcast.
Thank you, Mary, for having me today. She's been trying to get me to do this for months, and I do not like to read, so you will have to endure my abilities of reading some of this. We're reading first from Deuteronomy 28:15 through 35. It's titled Curses for Disobedience. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all of his commands and decrees, I am giving to you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed and the crops of your land, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you do. Put your hand to it until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven. And you will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms on earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will afflict you with boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday, you will grope about like a blind man in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day, you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. You will be pledged to be married to a woman, but another will take her and ravish her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will eat none of it. Your donkey will be forcibly taken from you and will not be returned. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and no one will rescue them. Your sons and daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce, and you will have nothing but cruel oppression all your days. The sights you see will drive you mad. The Lord will afflict your knees and legs with painful boils that cannot be cured, spreading from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Now let's read from Psalm 83, a song of Asaph. O God, do not keep silent. Be not quiet. O God, be not still. See how your enemies are astir, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel will be remembered no more. With one mind they plot together. They form an alliance against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the people of Tyre. Even Assyria has joined them to lend strength to the descendants of Lot, Selah. Do to them as you did to Midian, as you did to Sisera, and Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor, and became like refuse on the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, "Let us take possession of the pasture lands of God." Make them like tumbleweed, O my God, like chaff before the wind, as fire consumes the forest or a flame sets the mountain ablaze. So pursue them with your tempest and terrifying them with your storm. Cover their faces with shame, so that men will seek your name, O Lord. May they ever be ashamed and dismayed. May they perish in disgrace. Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the most high over all the earth. Our New Testament reading today is 2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygelus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus.
Thank you so much, Miss Pat, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully. I know I had to kind of twist your arm, and I'm sorry I gave you so many difficult words, but you rocked it. So thanks for being here today. I want to hear a little bit more about you. Tell me about your family and where you grew up.
Well, my parents were from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, which was a small cotton town. They met and married very young, and they had me. And Dad was in the World War II and was in the Navy. And when he came back, he needed a job, and they moved to Richmond. And my brother was born there. My dad drove a bus. My mother was a housewife. And we lived in a little bungalow they built after the war. that you wouldn't believe had housed many people during the years we grew up. My mom's siblings moved in with us, and my uncle, she helped him finish his high school education, and she encouraged her sister to get her GED, and they both lived there till my aunt married and my uncle joined the Navy after he graduated high school. My parents, neither one, got a high school education, so my mom was very determined that Ray and I, my brother, would get a high school education, and we did. My brother went off to college at Bryan in Tennessee and met his wife there and married and moved to Florida. I went to West Hampton College, which is a part of the University of Richmond. I found a job in the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond in the research department as a statistical assistant. And back in that day was when the first big blue IBM computers were bought, and the Fed bought one, and we were taken out of individual departments and created a DP, which was data processing, see, in that day. Today they call it IT, information technology. And so I was trained to be a programmer, and that's how my years in the computer world. I retired from information technology with Jefferson County Commission. I was married at 25 to a man who was a good man. I would say he's still a good man. But we met at work and we married. And at 32, he moved on. He didn't want to be with me any longer. And I really suffered for several years because I loved him. And eventually, my mom talked me into going to First Baptist Church. I didn't stress that we were raised fundamentalists about 10 on. And being a divorcee in a fundamentalist church in that time was not good. And it even affected my parents in a way, my mother especially. So I stopped going because I was too emotional. And she saw this program at First Baptist, Single Again was what it was. And they met on Wednesdays for dinner and had a program. So I've eventually made myself go. I don't know how, but I was so lonely, I guess, and stressed. And I went, and I don't remember her name, but it was a crazy lady who met me at the door. And if it hadn't been for her, I probably would have never gone back. But she was so friendly and so helpful in trying to find me the right classroom for Bible study. And I went to that class, and I was in the wrong one. And if it hadn't been for her and for the loving attention that people gave me, and I went back and eventually went into a class with a Single Again, and there was Marge Basden was the teacher of the class, and she worked at the Foreign Mission Board. And at that time, they didn't hire divorced people, but during that time, within a year, they did. And she encouraged me to apply. And I applied, and they accepted me. And I was in the data processing department of IMB now. It was FMB then.
But now you moved on some point in your career to work with the Women's Missionary Union.
That's how I ended up in Birmingham. And Catherine Allen was looking for a woman who had technology background because W had a subscription system, and they were outsourcing it, and they were having all kinds of problems. So she came to interview me and took me down to Birmingham here and had me tested. Back then, they tested you for your profile of your personality. And they offered me the job, and I refused it. Because by then, I had become friends with someone who knew all about the WMU, and she knew all the gory details, and I felt it when I came, how people looked at each other and talked to each other when certain people were in the room, and I thought, I don't need that. I'm not good at politics. But the Lord spoke to me when I went to Glorieta for a foreign mission week, and I was so miserable. I drove the car up into the mountain area there where they rode horses people brought their horses and got on them and rode off. And I got out of the car and I said, Lord, I just can't stand it. I'm about to die. What am I to do? And he, almost like he was standing there speaking into my ear, he said, I told you what to do and you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So I went back down, and my friend at that time was Manette Drumright, who was very special in those years. She talked to me hard, and she told me to go ahead and call, and they wanted me still. So that's how I ended up here. Yeah, not wanting to come, but dragging and kicking and cried all the way here.
And how long did you work at the WMU?
16 years.
Okay. And how did you find your way to Mount Brook Baptist Church?
Well, working at the WMU, Dr. and Mrs. Nelson were out there helping Meadowbrook Baptist Church be revitalized. It was an old church. And when I first went, it was meeting in a building behind a gas station. But at that time, the church needed a new building, Dr. Nelson felt, and to stir the community to come. And so they moved into the WMU building. Well, I was there 7 days a week, and I just couldn't handle it. I said, I've got to leave to find somewhere where I can worship. So naturally, I came to Mountain Brook because that's where the Nelsons had been. And my friend June Whitlow was here. And several other members that I worked with at WMU, Helen Fling and others. And so I came here. And it's now my family, my church family, because it became a very important part of my life.
You mentioned June as you were talking about someone who goes to church here. I consider June like your sister. Now, I want to hear how you and June met and how you guys are family today.
Well, June was the first person I met. She came to Richmond, and Catherine evidently told June and Bobby Sorrell to check on me. I was in the IT, and they came and met me. And then when I moved here, I had to find some place to live, and I rented a furnished apartment. And my lease ended, and I was having a house built in Meadowbrook, and it wasn't finished, and June took me in, and that's how it started. So every time I moved, which was too frequent, I moved in with June, and the last time I moved in with her, she said, don't move. Stay. So I have now gotten rid of all my possessions, other than for some stuff that I collected and some of my mom's that I need to go through. So I have a storage barn in my room at June's. And I had, even though I didn't live with her, I always did her yard work, and because she traveled a lot. And I did her yard work and checked her mail and took care of things when she traveled. She is my sister. I tell my brother he has a sister whether he likes it or not. and he calls her Sister June when he walks in. So we are best friends, but far more than that. She is my sister.
And we are pre-recording this on Thursday, August 18th, and it is Miss June's birthday. So we want to say happy late birthday to you, Miss June. Now, I know that you and Miss June now serve with the ministry to the homebound members. Tell me how you got into that and what we do on a regular basis for homebound members.
Well, it started in my Hope Sunday School class. We had members who couldn't come anymore. And you need to know that a lot of our homebound members think that their church has forgotten them. And that's not the case. We love and miss them. And I decided to create little bags for us as a class to take when we went out. So sometimes it's hard to start a conversation if you don't know someone well. But if you have a magazine and a few little things in the bag, it stimulates conversation. And when I was asked after I retired, I started coming on Mondays and sitting at the desk because of staff meeting. They needed somebody to cover the phones while they were having staff meeting. And one day Alvin came to me and asked me if I would work with Lindy Martin because Joyce Johnson was cutting back, and I said, sure. So I expanded it to all the senior adults in the church who were sick, temporary illnesses or surgeries, people in grief who just lost their mates. That pretty much is what I did. But during COVID, June and I visited everybody because I was told not to do the bags, and I understood why. That's perfectly right. But I thought, this is the time they need somebody to leave a bag and say hi from the driveway. And so we did that for 2 years till it lightened up and some of the other team members could join in.
And how can someone who says, oh, I can drop a bag at someone's house, how can they get involved with this ministry?
I usually keep a list of people, and when the bags are ready, I send them an email, and then they can pick them up under the staircase every week. So just let me know. We'd love to have you. I just try to find fun things that would brighten their day. It's about brightening their day and letting them know that they are not forgotten.
Speaking of brightening your day, you brighten mine, and I want to know a little bit about your favorite. So tell me your favorite food.
Italian.
And what about your favorite place to visit?
Hawaii.
Ooh. Before we close, I want to hear how you came to faith.
I remember as a child, around 11, being in the balcony and feeling God calling me, and I went down. Dr. Sumi was our pastor then. He was a wonderful, wonderful man and a wonderful family that he had. And so we were a missions-minded church. We had a big map on the back of the wall of the sanctuary because we had independent missionaries, and they came home to raise money to go back. And so we were raised with missions in our hearts, even there, even though we weren't Southern Baptists.
And then throughout life, maybe just one story of how you've seen God at work.
Well, coming here to Birmingham, I always say I have three P's for Pat. God has always been persistent, patient with me, and present. And I tell you, I fight him all the time. I want to do it my way. But he has shown me over the years that his way has been the best. I wouldn't be sitting here today if I hadn't come to WMU, and I did not want to come. And divorce was very hard. I loved loving. And it was hard to give up the dream of being a mother and a grandmother, but I love other people's children. So,
speaking of other people's children that you love, you and June have an adopted granddaughter as well. Tell me quickly about Brittany.
June became a Christian Women's Job Corps mentor after she retired, and they assigned her Janet Gillespie. And Janet had a one-year-old baby. She was coming off of drugs in the street. She had lived on the street for a number of years. And God spoke to her on the table when Brittany was delivered, asking if she'd had enough. And from that day forward, she never had another drink or drug or smoked or anything. And Brittany has become the light of our lives. We have raised her with her mother, because being a single parent often needed us to step in when she couldn't take care of things, doctors, sports, snacks, whatever, going to dance and voice. And we have tried to encourage her to be aware of all the benefits of living. And she's a wonderful young lady now. She's a senior at UAB in nursing and is doing well and is liking what she's doing. So we are so pleased that God has led her in the direction is suitable for her and will give her joy.
And Miss Pat, you and Miss June are extended family to Wayne and to me and to our kids and so many in the church, and so we give thanks for you. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Dear Father, we are so grateful for all that you've done for us. You've provided in so many ways that it's hard to believe when we look back that your hand has been with us even when we were stumbling and lost. And we're grateful for the future that you've given us, one full of joy and prospects that no one can imagine how wonderful it feels to know that you're in charge of our futures. We're grateful for this church. We now ask you to bless those who are homebound. We know that they miss their church, they miss their friends. And they miss being a part of the fellowship and studying of the word that you provide here. Encourage us to care and to be present for all those in need. In thy name we ask it.